Chapter number 2. We'll sail in the companionship and the courtship today. Then we'll see the DVD tonight on the same subject. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse number 20. Of course, this is the first man that God has made. And it says in verse number 20, And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found, notice this, an help meet for him, or a suitable person or counterpart, someone like him, someone to assist him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. And read the last two verses with me, 24 and 25. Here we go. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Amen. We're going to be talking about abiding in the companionship and the courtship this morning. I'm going to give you some information, kind of talk with you on some things here. And, you know, I was not fortunate enough to be saved before I got married. And so I did not get involved in the companionship nor the courtship. I made the same mistake many others made, just jump right into a relationship. Amen. And as a result, you have problems when you just jump into the relationship and you bypass the companionship and the courtship. Amen. But I'm so glad the God of all grace saved me and got me through that time. Amen. I was ignorant to what a man should do. I was ignorant to what a man should be. And I was ignorant to a lot of things about marriage. But God in his grace, when he saved me, oh my soul, he taught me how to be a man and a good husband. And I'm not there yet. But I'm in the ship, amen. I'm on the road, amen. My wife is teaching me every day how to be what I need to be, amen. Hey, you laugh. The Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. That means you got to learn them. The only way you're going to learn them is if they teach you them, amen. And if you're like me, they are complicated, amen. And as soon as you think you know them, they change. Amen. And so the companionship and the courtship is a very, very interesting ship to be in. And you cannot be in the ship without the word of God. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, give you some points today, and then we'll finish it up next week. And that means you've got to come back to next week. Amen. To finish it up. Amen. But the companionship and the courtship. Father, bless now. As we remain in the ship, Lord, we're talking about abiding in the ship. Paul told the centurion early on in the book of Acts, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Lord, there's some ships that we need to abide in to make sure that our lives stay on course, to make sure that we're doing what we know is right. And Lord, the companionship and the courtship are just two more of those ships to help us to right our lives and to sail successfully on the sea of life. And I pray that as we look at these things today, Lord, perhaps there's someone here that knows of someone that's about to jump into a relationship without going into the companionship or the courtship. Perhaps there's someone here that has a nephew, a niece, a daughter, a son, a grandson, or a cousin, or a friend, or anything like that. The information that we use today is vital, Lord. I didn't have this information, and you had mercy and grace on my life. And I'm still married after 34 years, and what a blessing it is to have your grace to intervene in my life, Lord, and to make me what I need to be. Not what I should be, but I'm glad that I'm not what I used to be. Lord, work in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls in here today. And I pray that there is one today that have never jumped into the relationship with Jesus Christ, the personal relationship. Lord, that's what they need to do before they do anything else. The companionship and the courtship doesn't matter, but a relationship with Jesus Christ does. And I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl today that's never received Christ. They may have been baptized. They may have joined the church, but they've never been born again. Lord, speak to that man, that woman, boy, or girl about the great need to be born again. Lord, without you in a relationship, a personal relationship, we will make a mess out of the companionship and the courtship. and a future relationship with a spouse. So help us today, Lord. Make sure that we're born again. Make sure we're saved. Then once we're saved, to get into the companionship. And then, Lord, the courtship, if you have planned marriage for us. Bless now in the children's area next door. And may the hearts of everyone under the sound of my voice be open. Holy Spirit, speak through me. We may leave here more knowledgeable than when we came in. We may be changed into the image of Christ a little bit more when we leave. Help us to leave differently than when we came in. And we'll thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson's got a special she's going to sing for us this morning.
Sleepless night, lying in bed, another lonely morning. Will this ever end? Another tear-filled day, another dream fades away. Hope seems gone. You stumble on, but there's someone who loves to bear your pain. Can't you hear the Father say, oh my child, when you can't go on another mile, I will carry you through the trial. I will carry you. My arms are strong and tender. My faithfulness is true. I will carry you. You can trust me and I will carry you. No strength to rise above your fears. You feel you cannot see beyond this valley of tears. But with one gentle touch, God says, I love you so much. God is your hope. And you can cope, believe and know he's lifting you up. And his grace will be enough, oh my child. When you can't go on another mile, I will carry you through the heartache of greatest trial. I will carry you. My arms are strong and tender. His faithfulness is true. I will carry you. You can trust God and we can. Yes, he will carry you. Call on his name. God longs to be a shelter. Your hiding place. There is peace the moment we enter his loving embrace. He will always can go on another mile. I will carry you through the heartache of your greatest trial. I will carry you. He says, my arms are strong and tender. My faithfulness is true. God will carry you. He says, you can trust me, and I will carry you. I am your father, and I will carry, he says.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. God will carry you. Amen. I must say that if God didn't carry my wife and I, our marriage would have been shipwrecked years ago. Amen. Just by the grace of God that he carried us and had mercy on me, amen, in my ignorance, and helped me to take care of the precious gift that he gave me. Amen. By the way, men, your wife is a precious gift. Amen. And never forget that. The Bible is clear about her being a very, very special, precious vessel over in Peter. Amen. And so calls her the weaker vessel, not talking about weaker in strength so much as just that she is that fragile person. Amen. And that person that needs to be protected and cared for. Amen. She is weaker in strength most times. Amen. I've seen some pretty strong ladies in my time, though. Amen. My next door neighbor, we used to call her Mrs. Eddie. I don't know what her name really was, but her name was Mrs. Eddie. That's what we called her. And she was bigger than her husband. My goodness. And, you know, you would hear them having some knockdown, drag-out fights over there. And he was always on the losing end. Amen. She outweighed him. She was bigger than him. And I would see him sometimes, and I'd feel sorry for him. She gonna whoop you again. Amen. That ain't getting right. Amen. As I said, man, I don't want to get married and that happened to me, amen. I want to get married and I want to have, you know, some things going on so I don't get whooped and beat, amen. So that was a lesson early on in life to have a neighbor like that to hear what's going on over there and say, I don't want to get married and have that, amen. Whatever y'all doing, I'm not going to do it, amen. What are we talking about here today? Courtship and companionship. You see it up there. By the way, you need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ first. And as I said before, I wasn't married. I didn't have that relationship. And so the relationship that I had with my wife wasn't really based upon the truth that it should have been based upon. Amen. And so you and I that did that and we're still married, God had grace on us and God had mercy on us. Amen. Especially if you're still married to the same one. Amen. I got saved at 27 and my wife got saved at 26. We didn't. Saved now coming up on 28 years. But before that, we were married about 6 years without Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we had 6 years that really were a little rocky there. Amen. But I praise God that he came in and intervened. We all know someone that one day hopes to get married. Amen. Or except boys. Well, young boys, they don't normally think about getting married. You ever notice that girls like the playhouse? And boys like to destroy the house, amen. There's just something about that, amen. They come in, they got the doll house all up there. Look at you and the little dolls, and there's daddy doll, and there's mommy doll. They got baby doll kids here, amen. And the boys come in, yeah, pow, pow, pow. And boys have no inclination about getting married early on. The girls are already thinking about having a kid. How many are they going to have when they get married? We're going to have 6 kids, and I'm going to do this. The boys like, I'm going to have a race car, and I'm going to be Mario Andretti, and total different thoughts, amen. And then we grow up, amen. My son talks about getting a sports car and stuff like that, and I laugh because I said the same thing. I said, I could have had me a sports car, but I got married, didn't have enough money. My wife says, so what you trying to say? Trying to say if I hadn't have got married, I would have gotten a sports car. But since I am married, I don't need a sports car. Amen. You have to watch what you say. Amen. I'm like, I was going to get that Audi 80. I saw it over there in Germany. I thought, whoa. I said, that's good. I need to have. Then I saw that Toyota Supra. I said, yeah, buddy, that's me. Then I got married, and I got a Subaru. Four doors. And it was slow as molasses. You hit the gas pedal, that thing started hiccuping and jerking like this. I'm thinking, I could have had my Toyota Supra, but I got married. But I'm happy. My son felt sorry for me and got me a Matchbox Toyota Supra. It's still at home, amen. What am I saying? We all know someone that wants to get married one day. Young people oftentimes think of that, especially the girls. The boys oftentimes don't. The information that we go over this morning and tonight may be useful information as you talk with someone that has that in their minds. They may ask your advice or opinion biblically, and you have some information to share with them on the subject. Let me say this. The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And so if you have a wife, you have something good on your hands. You say, well, I don't think that I've got something good. Well, you need to second guess that, because God said, man, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. And she is there to take care of you and to help you out. Amen. Well, let me say this. Marriage is not for everyone. I had a coworker one time, and I asked her, and I said, so-and-so, I said, why aren't you married? And she said, well, I don't want to be married. And I said, you don't want to be married? I said, marriage is fun. She said, yeah, it's fun for you, but not for me. I don't want to be married. And I kind of kept pressing the issue why she didn't want to get married. And she said, okay, I'm selfish. I don't want to share what I got with nobody. And I thought, okay. Probably not a good thing for you to get married. I think she's single to this day. And she was older than me. Amen. Marriage is not for everybody. I've got a younger sister. She is 7 years younger than me, and she is not married. Marriage is not for everybody. It is not. But for those that it is ordained for, amen, who marriage is ordained for, God has someone special for you. The goal is to have the one God prepared for you. That is the ultimate goal of God, to find the one for you. Now, if you've done like me and you've already married outside of the will of God, and God can still rectify that and work with that. And I still believe with all my heart that the one that I married to was the will of God for me. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, we get along too good for it not to be. Amen. Or either she's just putting up with me, one of the two. Amen. But no, I'm picking at her. Amen. But I believe with all my heart that God orchestrated my steps and ordained my steps. I had a grandma praying for me. I had a mother praying for me. And I believe that God ordained and orchestrated my steps straight to the one that I was going to be married to for the rest of my life. Because when we met for the very first time, there was just that, I'm not into that. But back then in my unsaved days, we just had an understanding, a relationship that said, I know you, you know me. And we talked for the first time for over about 2.5-3 hours. Just getting to know each other. And I thought, there's something different about her. She's not like everybody else. I wouldn't mind talking to her again. And we talked again. And by the way, when she first met me, she thought I was a thug. I was in the cafeteria with some black shades on, with a black Pittsburgh Pirates hat. Thought I was cool because I was on the football team. And I wanted to get myself introduced to her, so I came over. Brother Hall, I had this. I wasn't a slow walk, but it was one of those. I said, hey, so-and-so, who's your friend? My wife said, ugh, what a thug is he? That wasn't who I was. I didn't walk like that. I couldn't hardly do it. I was trying to, though. That's probably why I look so crazy. I was trying to be somebody I wasn't. She met the real me when nobody else was around. In front of the boys, that was all the football team is trying to do all that. Got my black shades on. Couldn't see as it was. But later on, that same day or a couple days later, I forget when it was, we met. And I said, hey, Carmen, come here. And she came over, and we got to talking. And she said, man, he's a nice guy. He's not the thug that was over there. What happened? I put up a front. I put up a facade. And let me say this. Oftentimes, people get into relationships with a facade and not with the real person. Trying to be somebody that you're not. Or you're trying to live up to the person that they want you to be. And that's never good, because if they marry the person that you're trying to be and that's not really you, the real you is going to come out sooner or later. And I'm so glad the real me came out right away when I started talking to Carmen, and the rest is just history. Before getting into the courtship, we need to be in the companionship. And so you see these two here, courtship. Companionship should always come before courtship. Should always come first. Far too many people want to bypass the companionship and the courtship and jump right into a relationship without ever getting to know the other person. And more importantly, many don't know themselves. That's why we have so many divorces. People are getting married out of the will of God and wondering what went wrong. What went wrong is that you left God out. And what's worse is when you marry and you really don't know who you are. There's a generation getting raised right now that don't know who they are. Yes, they know who the TV personalities are. Yes, they know who the web personalities are. Yes, they know who the magazine people are. They know all the media personnel, but who are you? Many young people don't know who they are. I'd say many adults don't know who they are. Amen. And if you don't know who you are, how are you going to know who you're supposed to marry? Amen. Let me give you some definitions and then we'll get into some things this morning. Companionship is the relationship of friends. The relationship of friends. It is the state of being with someone. It is a pleasant association among people. That is the definition for companionship. The biblical definition for companion, the word companion, it means to associate with as a friend, or to keep company with, or to use as a friend, or to make friendship with. That's the biblical definition of companion. Courtship, on the other hand, is the seeking the affection of someone with the intent or goal to marry. Notice that. Seeking the affection of someone with the intent or goal to marry, which means I am going to marry you. That's courtship. Before going any further, let me say this. Biblically speaking, never seek to involve yourself in a relationship with a non-Christian if you're a Christian. The Bible is clear on that. 2 Corinthians 6:14, but be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, excuse me, and what communion hath light with darkness? Many fail in this principle. I went to church with a man. He said, I saw this girl and I liked her, and so I got to know her with the intent on winning her to Christ. Now, he did win her to Christ. And he did marry her. Are they married to this day? I don't know, but I know that's what he did. He was a Christian. He went after a non-Christian, hoping to evangelize her, get her saved. She did get saved. They did get married, but is that the right way? No. The Bible is clear. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the first thing I want to say. Second of all, let me give you my heart on a couple things here before we get into this. I personally don't advocate or recommend dating. Now, you do what you want to do. But I personally don't recommend or advocate dating. Now, let me tell you why. Number one, I don't find the principle of dating in the Bible. Dating isolates you from others into an exclusive relationship, which often ends up emotionally scarring one or the other upon breakups. It also then becomes a waste of time you invest in another exclusively at the expense of others you could have been fellowshipping with, where your future mate might be. Also, when people often date, they find themselves in compromising positions and they think they own the other, and then they do things that biblically are not right to do. They begin to act as they are husband and wife, and they are not husband and wife. They act as if they own each other, and you do not. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Your parents are the ones you should be obeying. It says, husbands, love your wives. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And last time I checked, daters are not husband and wife. And that's just my own personal opinion. I don't advocate or recommend dating. Let me give you something else I don't advocate or recommend either. I don't endorse Christian online dating sites. Now, if you do it, praise God for you. Amen. I'm just telling you, I don't recommend it. And I would never recommend that to a Christian. Say, preacher, why? Many have used them and they have worked for some. Praise God for them. If it worked for you, hallelujah and praise God. But the majority of them have not been successful. They've not been successful. Most Christians using online dating sites don't have good discernment to know who's real and who's fake. Further, they rarely ask counsel of godly parents or godly authorities before indulging online. They go on and find somebody, then they meet them off the line somewhere and say, oh, guess who I found? Wait a minute, is there something wrong with that? I know online dating is the big craze right now. I know people say, well, I can't find me a mate or this, that, and the other. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But I still say we just need to trust God. And let me tell you what the problem is. We are on the media so much that we don't even have personal relationship skills. We can't talk to anybody because I'm used to blogging and chatting and all the, I can't hold it. I can't even spell words now because everything's an acronym or something like that. And so you come up there and, oh, BTW. Well, what does that mean? I mean, we got all these acronyms out there. And many of our young people have lost personal skills in relationships because all the thing they do is online. So I just don't have confidence in online dating. Predators and Christians alike can lie and put a good profile online and turn out to be a pedophile or a sex offender, and you would never know it. Just because they aren't listed for the police list doesn't mean they're not a sex offender. They may have never just been reported or caught. Amen. And they put their little blog out there and say, oh, look at me, and put out a little physique of a profile looking like, you know, Mr. Incredible or something like that. Amen. Or she puts one out there looking like Miss Universe or Miss America. And you think, whoa, when you meet them, then you don't look nothing like your profile. They lie. They lied about that. What else can they lie about? Amen. I'm just saying. Christians use these sites at their own risk. Let me say this. If you do indulge in that, never go out with someone you met online by yourself. Never go out with someone you met online by yourself, male or female. Okay, well, I'm Mr. America. I can fight them. Not if it's 10 of them. You go and you trying to meet this girl and you see her, oh, there she is, and then 10 of them jump you. What you going to do? You set yourself up for failure. You don't know anything about these people. What am I saying? You're at your own risk, amen. Never go out with someone by yourself you met online, male or female. I'd say don't ever do it, period. It's not smart, amen. Not smart. Let me also say this, and then we'll go on, amen. Don't consider the courtship of marriage if you don't know who you are in Christ. Get to know who you are first. That'll save you a whole lot of trouble later on. Because if you don't know who you are, then you marry somebody, guess what? You don't know who you are. They definitely don't know. They view you as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Well, today they're all kind. Yeah, I love you. And then tomorrow, I don't like this. I don't like that. What happened to this person? I don't know. I don't either. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to stay long for that. Amen. Praise God. I don't believe in divorce. Amen. But I'm going to leave that room. What am I saying here? Do you know you in Christ? Do you know you in Christ? Do you know what you have in Christ? Do you know your character in Christ? Who you really are, not who you show people. By the way, who you show people is not really who you are. Oftentimes, somebody say amen. If the real you came out, would people drop dead? My wife knows the real me. I met the real her too, back in college. And we saw each other in some very, very bad moments. But you know what? Even with all those bad moments, we didn't actually come clean until we got saved. Somebody say amen. There were still some things I held back that I didn't tell her. There were still some things that she held back on me. When we got saved, guess what? We had to sit down. We opened up the Bible. I said, look here, this is me. I want to be honest. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. And I just want to be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest before God. These are some things about me that you don't know. You married me 7 years ago. I withheld this information from you thinking that you might look at me crazy, and I want you to look at me for who I am and what I have done and what I'm about. And we sat down, and we came clean. And I tell you something, that was nothing sweeter than that. To know that I knew all of her heart and to know that she knew all of my heart, there was nothing sweeter than that. That she knew all about me. I didn't have to worry about some dark secret coming back to haunt me later on. Somebody said, hey, he did this, he did that. She knew what I did. I knew what she did. So if anybody came from that point on, I knew that they were going to be a liar, because her and I had that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us from all of that foolishness, and we came clean, and we could walk together in a relationship that was built on trust in God. So I didn't have to worry about anything from my past coming back to haunt me, because she knew everything about my past. And I knew everything about her past. That didn't happen until we got saved. That's why I say you make a mistake when you get saved, or when you get into a relationship without getting saved. And from that day forward, we went on. Do you know your character, who you really are, not what you show people? Do you know your convictions, what you stand for? How often do you go to church? Is it three to thrive? Do you believe that? You believe in tithe. You believe in missions. You believe in witnessing. Because if you marry someone that doesn't believe those things, you're going to be in trouble. Because the minute they want to tithe, you don't want to tithe. Or the minute they believe in giving to missions, you don't believe in giving to missions. The minute you say, I want to go soul winning, they say, I don't believe in soul winning. The minute you say, I'm coming back Sunday night, or I'm coming on Wednesday, they say, I don't believe in that. You better watch what your convictions are and get somebody that matches your convictions. Because not everybody believes those things in the Christian realm as well. Amen. Do you know you in Christ, your character, who you really are, your convictions? And do you know your commitment to Christ? Peter thought he knew his commitment. He said, I'd never deny thee, but he did. How loyal are you to Christ? And do you want someone the same way? If you know who you are in Christ, then you can be yourself in a relationship and put up, and not put up a front or a facade. If you don't know who you are, you will put up a front, a facade, which eventually will be seen by your future spouse sooner or later. Most times it's a few years after the honeymoon, and they will find out who you really are, and they won't like you because you lied to them in the beginning of the relationship. Somebody say amen. You lied to them and told them you were somebody that you were not. I know I did. The single biggest problem that I find oftentimes when it comes to this subject is people really don't know who they are. So they attract and marry the wrong person. Or worse, they go after the wrong person to trap them into believing they're someone that they are not. Then they marry them. And then they try to become the person the other is looking for. Normally when I have marriage counseling, I sit down and I say, what are you looking for in a spouse? What are you looking for in a mate? What do you think God has for you? And I ask them to listen. I said, don't share it with the other person. Why? I don't want them to try to live up to what the other one's expectations are. Because oftentimes, well, if I like them, I need to be what they want me to be. You will fail. You will fail because it's not who you are. I told my wife when we got married, I said, look, I like somebody who keeps a clean house. I said, if you're a slob, we can't go any further. We just can't. We can't. She said, they call me Felix Unger at home. I thought, praise God. Amen. We can go a step further. Amen. Amen. Why? That's important to me. I know most folks say, well, you know, a good cooked meal, that's what hits my heart. No, a clean house, that's what hits my heart, amen. I can't eat in a dirty house, amen. That's just me, and I wanted her to know who I was. I said, that's me. I keep everything in order. It's got its place. This is me. What do you do? They said, I'm the same way at home. I said, yeah, we can do something now, amen. By the way, they oftentimes, when you put up a facade, you try to become the person the other's looking for or wants them to be. Not what God wants them to be. Let me say this. Never involve yourself with someone to change them. It never works. A man convinced against his will is still of the same mind system. Never marry a person or try to get in a relationship with a person and say, well, they'll change. Oh, is that your job? Is that your goal? I thought that was God's job. Well, I can change them. Oh, you can. You can train a dog, but you can't train a person. Amen. Now, you can convince them into some things for a while, amen, and pacify them. But don't get involved with someone to say, oh, well, they've got this flaw, but I can change that. If you don't want the flaw, you don't want them. Amen. Y'all quiet. Hey, I'm telling you, I did it wrong. I did it wrong. I thought I was being as candid as I could be, but in the back of my mind, I said, if she know this, she gonna run. If she know that, she gonna run. If she know this, she definitely gonna run. If she know this, she gonna definitely run. If she know this was in the family genes, ooh, my soul. I didn't want her to run. I'm glad she didn't, amen. Hey, I tell this in marriage counseling all the time. Don't worry about finding the right one for you. Concern yourself with being the right one for God. You say that again. Don't worry about finding the right one for you. Concern yourself with being the right one for God. If you're the right one for God, God will bring the right one to you. You will attract what you are in your heart. Look at Ahab. He attracted Jezebel. Look at Samson. He attracted Delilah. And on we could go. Amen. You attract what's in your heart. Amen. Hey, you find a man with a sleazeball of a girl. Amen. Normally that's in his heart. I don't care how godly he looks on the outside. That was in his heart. You find a girl the same way with some little hippie looking guy or some thug looking person or some rapster that's got a bunch of britches hanging down. Amen. That was in her heart. That's what she's looking for. Desires. Don't worry about finding the right one for you. Concern yourself with being the right one for God. What we are in our hearts is who we will attract. That's our deep desire. I thought I'd do my heart pretty good, so I put it down on paper. I shared it with my wife. I said, look, these are some things that I got to have in the future, my mate. So if I don't have these things, we can't go any further. Now, guess what? I didn't tell her that. I had a list of things that I was looking for. And every time I would talk to her about certain things, I'd check that thing off my list. She never knew she was under scrutiny. She never knew. Now, I'm going to say this because this was on my list, too, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to get anybody upset. I had on my list, I do not want to marry someone that has a child by someone else. That was on my list. I've got nothing against people that have children by somebody else. Praise God. I know what I can't live with. And I could not live with some other man in my wife's life. I could not. I knew that much about me. It would bother me. It would bother me. Now, again, praise God for the grace of God that can cover those things in people's lives and can work that out. I'm saying what I couldn't deal with. I couldn't deal with some other man that I knew that was intimate with my wife coming in here looking at my wife, who is now my wife, that used to be his wife or his mate. See what I'm saying? So you've got to know who you are in Christ. Can God forgive that? Yes, he could, but I was unsaved right then. I couldn't forgive anything like that. Amen. I was unsaved. Let's look at a couple things here. We're going to have to close. Amen. We'll finish up next week. So how are we supposed to meet the companion God has for our lives? And how are we supposed to go till death do we part? Or how are we supposed to get past what God has joined together? Let not man put asunder. Let's notice some things about companionship. Genesis chapter number 2. I want you to notice, first of all, God designed companionship. God designed companionship. When God made Adam soon after Eve was made for help and companionship. Notice Genesis chapter 2. Notice verse 20. Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. After Adam named all the animals there and went through all of them, he found they had mates and everybody had a pair, or there was someone like them of the opposite sex. And Adam looked at himself. He said, there's nobody else like me. There was not found an helpmeet for him. And I like verse number 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his bones and closed up the flesh instead thereof. God designed companionship. He saw that Adam was alone. He knew Adam was alone. By the way, this was not an oversight of God. Amen. This was a foresight for Adam to see that he needed a mate. It was to bring about his awareness of his incompleteness without someone else. All the animals had a mate. Adam didn't have one. And God said, hey, look, there's not someone for you, is there? Let me see what I'm going to do for you. The gratitude that Adam probably gave God for Eve. Amen. That's why you husbands ought to thank God for the wife God gave you. You are incomplete without it if God has ordained for you to be married. Amen. Amen. Now, if it's not meant for you to get married, you get married, you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. And I was like G2. I ain't going to get married. I'm going to get my sports car. I'm going to be single the rest of my life. Woo-hoo! I went to college. Yeah, buddy. Freshman year, I ain't have no problem. Woo! Went back to college my sophomore year, came in the cafeteria, saw Miss Dawson. I thought, whoa, who is that? Before that point, I looked at girls, they were like cabbages. Everybody's a cabbage. Remember Brother Woody overseas, everybody's a cabbage? A cabbage, 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 cabbage. All girls look like cabbage, 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 cabbage. I saw Miss Dawson, it was a rose. I thought, oh, whoa. You know, on TV, they show the light around that one person, and everybody kind of fades away. Whoa. There's only one problem with that. She didn't even know I existed. I'm sitting across the cafeteria looking at her, and she's going about her business. I'm like, she don't even know who I am. Let me get on over there with my, hey, I want to get in on some of this. I saw you from across the room. I wasn't thinking about getting married until God aroused a need in my life. And I thought, because I had already, I said, I am not getting married. That's when I made my list. I said, look, I'm not getting married. But if I get married, they're going to have these things in their life because I'm not getting with just anybody. Amen. You say you thought you was all that? No, but I thought if I'm going to be married to somebody, at least I want somebody I want. Amen. I can wash, I can cook, I can clean, I can sew, I can vacuum, I can mop, which I don't do much more anymore. Amen. I can do all those. Now, I don't have to be married. I'm content with my singleness and my Toyota Supra. Gee. But if I get married, it's going to be somebody that I want to be with. Someone that believes like I believe. And yes, I had on my list, you must believe in God. Did you know what that meant? No. But I knew it meant you went to church. I know you could spell God and Bible. I knew that much. Amen. I knew you had to be religious. I knew that much. And she met all that. What am I saying? God designed companionship. He saw there was not a help meet for him. But let me show a second point. God delivers companionship. God delivers companionship. Adam saw the need in his life for help and companionship, and God met his need. Notice verse 22. After going to sleep, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, bought he a woman. Notice what it says. And what? Read it with me. Brought her unto the man. Brought her unto the man. Brought her unto the man. What did he make? He made a woman. He didn't make another man. Somebody say amen. He made a woman different than him. I couldn't see marrying somebody that looked like me. You said, preacher, I couldn't see marrying someone look like you either, amen. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I'm glad she loves me, amen. Brought her unto the man. God can bring the one needed. He has not lost his matchmaking abilities, young people. He has not lost his touch. I still believe there's someone for everyone that God has preordained to marry. I believe that with all my heart, that when God made every man, woman, boy, and girl, when he made them, he says, I got this person planned for you. You know what messes it up? We marry out of the will of God. And the one that someone should have married over here is taken by someone over here. And they find out that things aren't good over there. So you know what they do? They divorce. And you know what this one does? They marry the wrong one and they divorce. And now you've got people out of the will of God. And the one that should have been married to this one is over here married to that one, and now we got a mess. Why do you think people marry and divorce and marry and divorce and marry? They're trying to find that soulmate, the one that God made for them. And everybody's marrying the wrong ones and keep divorcing to try to find that one. I just believe God's still able to bring the right one. Preacher, you living in the dark ages. No, I don't care what the internet says. I don't care how many online dating chats are out there. I don't care. I still believe God is able to bring the one that's needed. If he bought this one, he can bring the rest of them. Say, preacher, you just believe that Bible. Well, what do you believe? An internet? Many marry out of the will of God and throw everything off balance when it comes to this marriage. Not only can God bring the one needed, God will bring the one needed. Notice again, he bought her unto the man. He didn't take her anyplace else. If we are in the will of God, he can bring someone. If we're in the work of the Holy Spirit of God, he can bring someone. If we're walking in service for God, he can bring someone. The thing is, we get out of the will of God chasing the wrong person, and then God allows us to see the wrong person, and we marry the wrong person because we're not walking in the will of God. Getting impatient. Adam went to sleep, amen. He said, I'm going to sleep on this, amen. God caused a deep sleep to go over him. You say, well, if God put me to sleep, maybe he's trying to put you to sleep. You just ain't going. God will bring the one you need of his will. And if it's his time for you, many run ahead of God to the disaster of their life. And the one that you married wrongly may be your demise that you thought you wanted so bad. And many throw this thing off balance. The Bible still says, Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen their heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I wasn't looking to get married. I was content with my singleness. You know, until you're content with singleness, you're going to seek after the wrong one. Because you're busy looking. When my Bible says he bought her unto the man, I don't see Eve going to the garden saying, wouldn't you find me a man? No, I don't see that. I don't see that. You say, preacher, you just don't understand my situation. And I don't. But I'm glad God does. I'm glad. And I know some good young people that want to get married so bad. And my heart bleeds for them. Because I look out there and it's the amount of good, godly young people is diminishing. It should be multiplying and doubling. It is diminishing. We find less sold out young people than ever. And men and young men and young ladies are having to settle for something that they really don't want to have. But they want to get married. My encouragement is to wait on God. Wait on God. Now, my wife and I, we got married young. She was 19. I was 20. Now, that was 34 years ago. Things were different back then. Things are different then. What am I saying? You know, folks, God still designed companionship. But God can still deliver companionship. Next week, we're going to look at, we must discern in the companionship. As God brings companions, we've got to discern who should be in our ship and who shouldn't be in our ship. Not every person you meet needs to be in your ship. By the way, oftentimes you choose from your companions. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You don't choose a stranger. You choose from companions that you allow to come into your life. And then from those companions, you normally make a choice. You know, I've got some people who already got dibs on my children already. They say, well, you can give your son and your daughter to my daughter. And then, speak on, no. My kids. You're trying to marry them off. And there's nothing wrong with desiring something like that. Amen. Nothing wrong with that at all. Amen. I'd rather have them marry somebody godly than somebody ungodly. Yeah, I've got some preachers already said, okay, you've got two boys. I got two girls. You got one girl. I got one boy. Let's pray about that. Our kids are like, no, let's not pray about that. I want my sports car. Joshua said, if she can make sweet, she's mine. Amen. Josh said, not even the sweets will do it. Amen. What am I saying here, folks? We're going to finish up with this next. Tonight there's a DVD. Come back for the DVD tonight. He's going to talk a little bit. Sam Davis is going to talk a little bit about the principles, essential principles getting to the marriage altar successfully and the courtship. But God designed companionship. The Bible says, for Adam there was not found and help meet for him. But God delivers companionship. Made he a woman and brought her unto the man. I still believe God can bring the one needed, and God will bring the one needed if it's his will and in his time. Sometimes we get too impatient. Hey, folks, my wife and I didn't have children until after marriage, 20 years. Did we desire children? Yes. Did we want children? Yes. But God says, not yet. We had to wait 20 years. Whole years of marriage. I got kind of used to just being two of us. I had me a Jetta. Closest I was going to get to my Supra, I got me a Jetta. Then G2 was born. My wife said, we got to get rid of the car. I thought we went through this when we got married. I already got rid of one. Now he want me to get rid of the second one that's not even remotely close. Can we compromise? She said, I'm not driving all the way to New Jersey from Arizona in a Jetta. Would you consider an alternative route? So I joined the age of minivan. Got rid of the Jetta, got a minivan. They gave me a fraction of what it was worth. Tears streamed down my eyes. as I watched him go in and put the key in it and take it away, and I looked at the minivan, and I thought, things that are not the same are different. What am I saying, folks? We've got to believe that God is still able to bring. If there's a need in your life, God can bring it. Made he a woman. He saw there was not an help meet for him. He designed some companionship and delivered it and said, this is yours. Adam said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Brought her unto the man. I still believe God is able. Now, if you're going to go through some other methods, amen, you're at risk. It might be successful. It might be. I'm not saying it won't be. I'm just saying you run a greater risk when you go outside of God's will. A very greater risk. Now, can God have mercy and grace? Yes, he can. But you may not be recipient of the same grace and mercy that I had with my wife. I think when God made her, he made the best one. He made the best one. Mom, if you listen to this, sorry. You know, my mom, sometimes she listens to these recordings. Amen. I thought I was the best one. Well, you was until I met Carmen. You can't come home anymore. Amen. Amen. Now, I love my mom. And, you know, ironically, look at your mom. Oftentimes you marry somebody like your mom. Guys will marry someone like their moms, and girls marry somebody like their dads oftentimes. Not always. But Carmen is a spitting image of my mom in many, many ways. And I love my mom, and I love my wife dearly. And they remind me of each other so much. They get on the phone, they just talk. I'm thinking, I don't even talk to my mom that much. You talk to my mom more than I talk to my mom. Amen. What am I saying? You know, none of this matters if you're not born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to be saved. You need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Before getting into the courtship, before getting into companionship, you must be born again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to be saved. I'm glad that after 6-7 years of marriage, I finally got saved. My wife and I got married in 1984. We got saved in 91. We got saved the same day, same service, two different people. Took her 20 minutes to get saved. Took me 2.5 hours to get saved. Why? I was a stiff neck, hard head, religious, proud person who thought he had everything going on. And I had nothing. God had to break me down into tears to show me that Jesus had it all. I had nothing. I had nothing to bargain with. I had nothing to barter with. I was trying to say, Lord, I must be saved because look at what I did. He said, that's right. Look what you did. Look what I did. Jesus paid it all. And Jesus showed me himself February 3rd, 1991. And I bowed my wicked knees and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my wife came out of that room. I came out and she said, she looked at me and she said, I got me a new husband. I said, I got me a new wife. We had to learn each other all over again because we were new. We had changed. That's why we had to come clean on a lot of things and start off fresh. Our heads are bowed. Father, thank you so much for the companionship. Lord, I'm just trying to share my heart today. Oh, God, I blew it. I messed up in a lot of areas before I got married. But I'm so glad that your grace and your mercy has covered me. And Lord, it's enabled my wife to love me. Lord, we could not love each other if we didn't love you. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us, the Bible says. And Lord, I pray for anyone under the sound of my voice that's not saved. Maybe they need to be born again today. I pray for that man, that woman, or that boy or girl that's here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray for those that are desirous to be married and they're trying to involve themselves in a relationship. Oh, God, help them to see that they need to have some companions first in their companionship that are approved by God. And then they need to, from those companions approved by God, then consider whether there is a courtship available. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at the DVD tonight to discern some things. We come back next week and look at a few more things in this companionship and the courtship. You may speak to our hearts, but most of all, Lord, I pray there's someone here today without Jesus Christ, man, woman, boy, or girl, they would accept Christ as Savior. They will make a mess of their lives without you, and they need to be saved. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. all across this auditorium, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not really sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've got some doubts in my mind, got some doubts in my heart. But pray for me that I can get it settled today. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across the room. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? He said, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Pray for me. Anyone else? Next question. You don't need to raise your hand, but just think in your own heart. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know your character? Do you know your commitment to Christ? Do you know your convictions? What will you stand for? Because, friend, if you get involved with the wrong companions, if you don't know where you stand, someone can pull you away from what you stand for. If you don't know, you may put your hand down. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray about that this morning. Your convictions, your concerns, your commitment to Christ. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, someone can easily pull you away and have you believe something that you never thought you'd believe. And it might not be Bible. Father, bless now this invitation. Have your hands upon the one that raised their hand. And Lord, help them to do something about that today by taking a step of faith and accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. We're looking around. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you're burdened about a son or a daughter, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, grandmother, grandfather. You want to pray for them. They might get the relationship established, or maybe get in the companionship, or maybe they're involved in a courtship. Maybe you want to pray for them this morning. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar? Meet with God and talk to Him. Maybe you've been trying to change a spouse. God doesn't want you to try to change them. He wants you to let them change him or her. Maybe you need to come. Perhaps you're not saved here today. You raised your hand saying, I'm not saved. Why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Just take a moment of your time. But it's got to be your choice. I can't come to you, but you can sure come to me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Would you like to take that step? Would you like to be saved? Man, woman, boy, or girl, wherever you're at. We can show you what the Bible has to say. There are some that's fortunate like me, and God is blessed, and they've overcome obstacles, they've overcome difficulties, and they're still married to this day. Praise God for you. But maybe you say, my marriage things aren't the way I expected. It's not going as I planned. Perhaps you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, speak through your word and help me to be what I need to be. For my husband, help me to be what I need to be. For my wife, help me to be what I need to be. And not try to change my spouse. Companionship, courtship. What about the relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you saved? How about it? You raised your hand saying you're not saved. Would you like to be saved today? We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you need to continue praying for that loved one, that son, that daughter. Maybe that friend, that relative, that cousin. God can bless. There's not a relationship, there's not a marriage that God can't mend if you let Him have control. If you give Him all your heart, He'll give you all His help. His grace is abundant. His mercy is sweet. His desire is good. His direction is best. Would you trust Him today? Father, thank you so much for, Lord, what you've done in my life. God, I'm just sharing my heart today. Took an old boy from Illinois, a young lady from New Jersey. Allowed our paths to cross. And you kindled our hearts together. And oh God, although we weren't perfect, you joined us together in matrimony. Lord, then said about 7 years later, you brought us under the sound of the gospel together. And we heard the precious word of God, and the relationship that we thought that was already great, you made it immaculate with the grace of God. Thank you for the wife that you've given me for these 34 years, the companionship that we've had, the relationship that we've had, the courtship that we had was sweet. And I thank you that you saved us and made it sweeter. Lord, thank you for the many couples that are here that have that same testimony. Maybe they weren't saved when they got married, but Lord, you worked out the differences. You worked them through the difficulties. And you have allowed them to surrender their lives to you, and now they are what they are because of the grace of God. Thank you for each couple like that at the Shining Light Baptist Church. Some serving you on mission field, some serving in the church, some just being good, good Christians. Lord, we know that marriage is not for everyone, but for everyone that it is for, you've made someone. And Lord, help them to find who that person is by the grace of God, by getting in the will of God and the work of God. Lord, that you will bring that person to them. They won't have to go looking. They won't have to go searching. I didn't look for Carmen. I didn't search for her. She was just there. And oh God, what a beautiful picture she was. And she still is, and getting sweeter every day. Lord, may we have that same relationship with you. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Thank you for saving me. Lord, many others here today. And the one that is not saved is concerned. Speak to their hearts. They might get it settled today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Pastor White comes, he's going to give us our announcements for the afternoon. I would encourage you to come back tonight. We'll be here at 5 o'clock looking at the DVD from Sam Davis, dealing with essential principles to betrothal and courtship tonight, 5 o'clock. So you be here in your spots. Amen.